Hey there, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
You know, I'm weirdly manic today. So okay. You'll have to forgive me. I'm this weird combination of manic and spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Which, trust me, it's just strange. So Beatrice had a horrible sleeping night again last night. Mm. I was up and down with her literally 6 times.
Because she has, like, the doesn't sleep kind of deal, right?
Yeah, she has never slept reliably through the night. So Bethany and I are going on, I mean, occasionally she will, but it's rare. It's an every now and then sort of thing. So what this means is that my wife and I, for going on 4 years, because she'll be 4 in February, for going on 4 years, have had maybe, I would say that it would be pushing it to say 20 full nights of sleep.
It's just crazy.
That we wake up, one or the other of us, or more often than not, both of us, wake up at least once a night.
Wow.
So, yeah. You know, our bodies have become conditioned to it, but some nights are worse than others, and last night was bad, and so I'm pretty tired, and it's making me punchy and whatnot. But in any case, I digress. How about you?
I'm good. Very good. No real complaints. Getting close to Christmas, which is always good.
Yeah. Well, I like Christmas. Christmas means stuff. You get lots of stuff for Christmas. And, you know, this show's all about getting stuff.
Yes.
I can't wait to get more stuff. You can't have enough stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Fill your house up with stuff. That's what enough is all about.
Yeah, heck, I just brought a bunch of stuff to give away so that other people would have stuff, and I would clear space for the stuff that's about to come. Because I know it's coming.
It is, especially with the little.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to talk about today, Pat?
We're getting a whole nother house for our stuff.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, too many houses. Patrick doesn't have enough houses.
Yeah. They could build a reality show around us, like House Hoarders.
There is one, isn't there? Oh, you're actually hoarding houses.
Hoarding houses, right. Yeah, yeah. So, like, there's the people that, like, hoard and put, like, fill up their houses with stuff. But what about the people who actually hoard houses? Like, just can't stop buying houses. Like, have too many houses.
There aren't that many people.
Yeah, I know. It'd be a very boring and quick reality show, but we could do it. In any case, I digress.
Pat made his millions. Minimal Mac, he's made his millions, so now he can't stop buying houses.
Well, the whole reason to talk about minimalism is so you can make the money to buy more stuff, right?
Yeah, so his house that he lives in is so minimal because his other houses are so full up.
that's right.
So I
hope everyone knows that. I'm joking. I'm not completely. There's elements of truth within all of this, but as we discussed before, as we discussed on the I Struggle episode, you know, my philosophy does not equal and is not represented by anyone else in my household. So yeah. It's a bit of an uphill battle for me. All right. We're actually going to get to a topic here eventually.
Yeah.
I think
so
we
before we went down the house route, I'll ask you what I was going to talk about today. So now I'm going to say. We're going to talk about what's on our home screens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we spoke about home screens, and we spoke quite a while ago, I think all the way back in episode 2, we were talking about minimalism on iOS, and we were talking a bit about our home screens then, and we did an episode called Beyond the Home Screen, and I'm going to find out what episode that was.
Okay.
There's a search feature on 70decibels.com now, which is very useful.
Handy. For me.
In the bottom right-hand corner, if you're looking for something, or a person specifically. Episode 15, Beyond the Home Screen, where we spoke about apps that we love, but not love enough to put on the home screen, or for whatever reason, we haven't got them on there.
Gotcha.
So we're going to talk today about what's on our home screen, and then over the next few weeks, we're going to, you know, every couple of episodes or so, we're going to talk about another of our screens until we come to the last one. So there's going to be four in total, because Pat has four screens. I have three, but I have a lot of folders, so I'll make sure to wrench some in there.
I don't have a ton of folders. I've got a few, and I think actually, knowing that we're going to be doing this kind of series, that I've been putting off doing some cleanup, and I probably will do some cleanup, unfortunately. That's in not doing it to, like, oh, I better clean up before the company comes or anything like that. You know what I mean?
it's just reminded you that you need
to. Reminded me that, you know, it's something I've been meaning to do for a little bit of rearrangement and a little bit of cleanup. So, anywho,
let's start to go first with, what's on your dock? Because, I mean, I know it's not the front screen per se, but, it's the most important real estate.
Well, it is, because it's the one that's ever present.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty boring. Because I kind of figure that this is what the phone was for. Like, when Steve Jobs originally announced the iPhone, and I was at that keynote, by the way.
Were you?
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever told me that.
Oh, really?
So I was just watching On the Verge.
Yeah.
With John Gruber.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. I haven't seen that one yet.
Like,
okay.
The fact that those guys have got, like, a late-night talk show that they record in New York City in front of a live audience, and the production values, it just makes me feel ill.
But I have yet to watch one.
They've only done two, because it's not like a frequent thing as such. Like, but The Verge is, like, so far and above everybody else that covers, like, all of technology. Like, the production values of their reviews and their video reviews, and just in general, like, they are killing it.
But, wow. I haven't gotten into it yet.
But in that, John Gruber and Joshua Topolsky are talking about that keynote, and they both agree that it is probably the best keynote there's ever been, because it gave us exactly what we wanted. We had our minds blown, and no keynote before or after had they successfully done that.
Yeah.
Even with the iPad, this was a great point. We love that product now, and it's a massively important product. This is what I think John Gruber was saying this. But the reaction to the keynote wasn't that great, because people didn't necessarily like the way it looked, and because the iPad is kind of one of those things you can't appreciate until you have it in your hands. But the iPhone was so different, and Steve presented it magnificently.
Yeah, so I just went to look for, because I couldn't remember exactly the words he used. I went to look for it, and
I think I know what they are. If you're saying the way that he introduced it, can I try and see if I can remember?
Yes, go ahead.
So he says, "We're not launching, we're launching three products today."
Yep.
He said, and he said, "A phone,
yeah,
a breakthrough internet communications device,
yeah,
and a widescreen iPod with touchscreen controls."
Yes. Yeah.
I watched that keynote the day after he died.
Yeah. Such a great one. And I'm actually, so, like, one of the first hits on Google was Business Week, a Business Week article titled Steve Jobs' Greatest Presentation from 2007. So, in other words, you're not alone. And Gruber et al., Joel and whatnot, are not alone in that feeling about it being the greatest. So now, that said, I've relegated music to the second screen. I'm sorry. But so on my dock, I'm stalling. I've got phone. I know. It's already just, I mean, it's exciting and the tension is building. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Next up is mail. Mail. All right. And then wait. It gets better, folks. Messages.
Ah, no. See, you've not done what I thought you were going to do.
Hmm.
Okay. And then what's next to that?
See, we need the game show music again. Safari.
Oh, I can't keep putting that in every episode.
I know, but it's so much fun. Safari. So phone, mail, messages, and Safari, all down at the bottom. That's what I got. Very boring, very vanilla. But, you know, heck, I mean, I use... Well, you know, it's a phone, so I got to have phone there. But
yeah.
I'd say between mail, messages, and Safari, those are probably my most used, you know, apps on this thing. You know?
So, my dock, I'm sort of even more than that. Mine is phone, mail, Safari, and then I have an audio folder. So, in my audio folder is Spotify, Instacast, iPod, and the Audible app. Because I wanted to keep all of that stuff on the dock. So, in essence, mine is the original.
Yeah.
And that's because I've had an iPhone since the first iPhone. So, a few of my apps have remained in the same place. Like Messages, top left. Then I have Agenda. So, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I have Agenda second to that. Because that's where Calendar was.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm used to that, to the way that was.
So wait, so Agenda is in the top row then?
Agenda's top row.
But, and second from left?
Yeah, so Messages, okay. Top left, then the right of that is Agenda, which is where the calendar used to be.
Gotcha, okay. You're right, the calendar did used to be there, didn't it? Mm. Hmm. Well, I mean, should we move on to... You know, to like the rest of the screen, or do you want to do this row by row, or
let's do it row by row.
All right.
So, I've got Messages. I've got Agenda. I really enjoy Agenda. It's a calendar application. What I like about it is I can quite easily flick between monthly, weekly, and day views. And that's done very quickly. To add an event is also very fast. Right. And they have a bunch of really cool themes. I use the Solarized theme.
Gotcha. Also, not the Minimal Mac theme? What's wrong with
you? I did use the Minimal Mac theme, but it didn't agree with me for too long.
It's actually a little bit light. I mean, as you would imagine the Minimal Mac theme to be.
But. I just found that the guys, is it App Savvy who make Agenda? It's the greatest ever piece of marketing. Basically what they did, they did a release and they included a bunch of themes. And in the themes are the colors of different websites. So you've got, you know, some general ones like Solarized, Light and Dark, like the actual ones that most people would use. But then you've got the Brooks Review, Daring Fireball, Lifehacker, The Loop, Mac Stories, Minimal Mac, Sean Blanc, and Tua. So that way, a lot of them websites just all posted to it on one day, free advertising. Fantastic.
It was very smart on their part.
Next to that, I have Simple Note. It's my note take application of choice. I moved to Elements for a while because I like the way Elements looks, but the speed of Dropbox Sync is not the same as speed from Simple Note Sync. I have very specific needs from an app. It has to be fast because a lot of the time I'm jumping between app to app. So like from Twitter to Simple Note or from Reader to Simple Note to make up show notes. So links and stuff for the shows. Right. And also one of my main issues with Elements is that hyperlinks aren't clickable, which is so simple. But you know, not everybody needs that, so I'm sure it's not high on their feature list. I did send a developer an email, a feature request, as it is on the list, but you know, that is an edge case. And I have Verbs, V-E-R-B-S, which is an IM client. It's a fast IM client. You have to really upgrade to Pro, so you pay for the app, although it's free at the moment, I think. And then you upgrade to Verbs Pro, and that allows for push notifications, and it stays on connected in the background. It's by far the best IM app that I've used, and it's a universal application.
Hmm.
So about your
So you're on Verbs a lot?
Yeah. Well, I don't work from home, and I don't have my own computer at work, and our computer systems are quite heavily locked down. So the only way that I can use IM is to do it on my phone. And I do IM quite a lot in the day.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. All right. So, I'd have to say, strangely enough, the top row of my home screen is one thing that, out of everything else on my home screen, the top row changes the most frequently. Not like it changes all the time, but certainly it is purpose-driven. Number one, I've got Plain Text by Hog Bay Software.
Okay.
As I mentioned before, and actually wrote about in the book, as well as I've mentioned several other places, I did the first draft of my manuscript for the Enough book using Plain Text mostly, not 100%, but mostly using Plain Text on the iPad. But I did lots of editing, a surprising amount of editing of that draft on my iPhone using Plain Text. Because, certainly for typing out an entire chapter using the on-screen keyboard, it became cumbersome. But what I found myself doing was, in those downtime moments or when I was at circus with my little girl, circus class in the morning, and she's doing her circus and I'm sitting there waiting, that's the time I would use to read through the latest draft of my essay, and so making slight word changes and slight punctuation changes here and there using the iPhone and the built-in keyboard was easy and trivial. So Plain Text kind of became on my home screen because I was in it a lot, a whole lot.
And that should dictate what goes there, right?
Right.
You use an app.
Exactly. So now that I'm kind of getting done with that, not done, I'm getting done. I am done with that side of the process. That will probably be moving soon. And that's when I mentioned that I should do some cleanup and reorganization or whatever, that's kind of the sort of thing I meant. Like Plain Text can now go off of the home screen and something else can take its place that needs to be there. Okay, so Simple Note, no-brainer. This is where I keep all those little snippets of text that don't seem to fit anywhere else. Whether it be, anything, everything. I'm launching Simple Note now and, I've started to make my intentions for 2012. A little note, some people like to call them resolutions. I like to call them intentions because it sounds more like I'm going to do them. So just the top three notes in my simple note are intentions, a poem that I, a little short poem I wrote called Prairie Winter Morning, and simple missions. The simple missions I've been posting to Twitter every Monday at 8 a.m. For the week. I actually keep a note with all of those simple missions as I think about them and have them ordered by week. All right, so we got that. Let me get on a simple note, and then I've got Agenda. It really is the best calendar app for iOS. I'm not going to joke. I'm not going to play. It is. There's nothing better, and I've tried a lot because I really didn't like the built-in one. It sucked, and Helvetta, what was it? Helvetta Date, Helvetta Calendar, whatever that one was.
Helvetical,
yeah. Helvetical took that slot for a while.
Calvetica.
Thank you, Calvetica. Yeah, it took that spot for a while, and it's really, it really is excellent. It's really good, but Agenda's better. Yeah. And then this is another one that kind of keeps changing a lot. And that's Reminders. And that's probably going to move off my home screen soon because I really just haven't been using it as much as I want to. Maybe if I had a 4S like my wife and had Siri, it would make more sense. But, I'm just not keeping my to-do app that way right now. Or my to-do's on my... I'm not tracking my tasks on digitally right now. Okay. So that spot used to be held by OmniFocus, and then it got, you know, OmniFocus got replaced by Reminders, so I wanted to play with that for a little while to, you know, to give it a shot. But, I'm back to paper now, so I really don't need that. All right. So screen two.
Row two.
Row two, sorry.
Reader, best RSS reader.
Yeah.
R-E-E-D-E-R. There is no better. Due app.
Yeah.
I have a 4S and I do like reminders, but what Due allows me to do is a lot more powerful. I can set things to remind me weekly. If something's, you know, if I get a reminder, I'm like, oh, I can't do that for 20 minutes. Go in, two taps, and it's changed for 20 minutes. If I need to move something to another day, it works really well for me, because I have a bunch of things that I need to be reminded of constantly. Maps, because it should be on the home screen, because I think people forget what life was like before we had Google Maps in our pockets. Mm-hmm. It's easily one of the greatest things to come out of smartphones. And then, okay, now I'm pretty sure that I consider this next app to be the best iOS app ever made. Tweetbot.
Hmm.
And I'm gonna, I have decided, I think, my top two ever made. I will get to the next one later, even though I've kind of already mentioned it, but I didn't really give it its due. But yeah, I consider Tweetbot to be the best iOS app ever made. It's definitely the best Twitter client, in my opinion, on the iPhone, especially since Twitter decided they wanted to just throw a big bag of crap against the wall, and then the new Twitter app just fell out of it.
Wow, people have been griping about that. I'm so angry. I just frankly don't care, but it's just been funny to watch the reaction.
I mean, when we're recording this, I've not yet recorded episode 87 of The Bro Show. If you listen to The Bro Show, then you'll know how I feel. If you don't, you should track it. Just go and find it. 70decibels.com/The Bro Show. Go to episode 87. I will be and will have been talking at great length with great passion about how I actually feel about this app. Because I actually, to give a brief taste, I actually feel that it's more of an insult than anything else to existing Twitter users. But anyway, Tweetbot is just fantastic. It makes me feel like a power user. Twitter is, the official Twitter app is the iPhone app for everyone. Tweetbot is the iPhone app for people that have been using Twitter for more than a year.
Hmm.
Before they start going crazy.
All right.
What about you?
Okay. Row two. I've got Instapaper. Come on.
App that needs no introduction, really, as well,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. If I have to explain it to you at this point...
You don't need it.
You don't need it, right. That's right. Path. Which... The latest update is just sublime.
Probably the best looking iOS app.
I don't know if I could argue with that statement. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, and there's so many nice touches. Such close attention to detail. I could go on and on and on about that. Photos.
Okay.
You've seen Beatrix. How could I not have photos on my home screen? Because no matter who it is, whenever I'm with somebody, they don't care about me. They don't want to know how I'm doing. They don't want to see me. The whole reason that they're even entertaining my company is to see pictures of Beatrix. So that's why it's got to be on my home screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then Camera Plus, same reason. Need a good camera. Built-in camera's good. Camera Plus makes it great. The least of which is the grid and also the editing features. Some of the built-in filters and such are really great.
I would love to know from our listeners. I know that a lot of people use Camera Plus for its speed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For anybody that used Camera Plus on an iPhone 4, do they still use it on an iPhone 4S? That's what I would like to know.
Ooh, okay. That's a good question.
So that's my question to people, because I've used Camera Plus. Not a big picture guy. Trying to take more photos, just in general of stuff. So the default camera app is fine for me.
Yeah.
My Row 3, I've got Day One, which is an app that I'm trialing out at the moment. It's a journaling app. I'm trying to keep more of a journal, personal journal for myself. Day One is a beautiful little app. You open it up. I have it pin locked, which, you know, you should for such a thing, I think.
Yeah.
It's just got a nice big plus button. Right, it's front and center. Tap it. It brings up today, and you just start writing. Very simple, and it organizes everything by list of entry or by calendar. Great looking app. It's a fantastic Mac companion app too. All syncs by Dropbox, as all good apps should. I have Camera, just a regular camera, yeah. Which does fine for me. And I see that the Camera app kind of has dual purpose, because it allows me to get to my camera roll. So yeah, I don't really need the Photos app either. So that was one of the main reasons I use the Camera app, because opposed to any other type of camera app.
Yeah, you can easily get to the camera roll from there, yeah. So you don't need to have the photos on there. You know, I never even thought about that. Thank you for that.
That was just Michael. When I was trying to par things down quite a bit.
That's one of those enough sort of exactly. Tips that I
that's
think
a, that's would. A tip and trick right there.
That really is. That's you know, and it's what we believe in. So yeah, I think I might have to give Camera Plus some consideration based on that alone.
There you go. I'm currently trying to lose a bit of weight, especially with Christmas coming up, so I have the Weight Watchers application.
Mm.
It's a decent enough application. It allows me to track my points for the day, making sure. And plus, I also want to eat better. I eat terribly. I don't eat enough healthy food. It's another thing for me to just try. And I have an app. Now, I shouldn't even recommend this, because it doesn't even exist anymore. Cha-ching. The iOS app is no longer available. It hurts my eyes because the icon isn't even Retina, but Cha-Ching works just how I like it to keep track of my money. I've not found another app that has the functionality. No app replicates the functionality. I think an app that you'd recommended to me, perhaps it's Spender or Saver or something
Saver.
Like that.
Yeah.
Saver doesn't have recurring transactions, which kind of is a massive no-brainer to me.
Yeah, and a deal killer without, huh?
Yeah, and I recommended it a long time ago to them. they said they'd do it, but they've not.
Right.
So, I mean, the app is beautiful enough, but, I mean, you know, we all have bills that come out every month. I don't want to have to sit and enter them in every month. Mm-hmm. And Cha-Ching, I just set it up as a monthly payment, and all I need to do is just press the button when it's paid. It's a very nice functional application. It's just a shame that it's no longer developed, and it will. I know at some point it's going to break, and every time there's an OS update, I'm terrified.
Oh man!
Because yeah. Something's going to break it at some point, right? It can't carry on. You can't have an application carry on going forever and it never get broken. So one day it's going to happen. So I mean, if anybody can recommend a really good money tracking application, bearing in mind I can't use Mint.
Well, yeah, I wish I had one for you. All right, so my third and final row, because I keep the bottom fourth row completely empty, and I think we've discussed that before, but I'm not sure.
We have.
I like the minimal. I like the look of it. I like to have a little bit of white space. So I've got Reader, like Michael. Really great feed reader. Quotebook. And I think we've done, like, we've had Matthew from Quotebook on. We've discussed it before. I love Quotebook, and I'm a lover of quotes in general, and having a place to capture them is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Pro tip on Quotebook. Until they get syncing and iCloud, some sort of thing figured out that way, do regularly email yourself your quote database, because should something happen to your phone, that will save your bacon. It saved mine.
We had Matthew on episodes 23 and 76. We especially discussed Quote Book in episode 23, but we did touch on it in 76 too.
Yeah, yeah. I really love Quote Book. It's just a fantastically done app for, it's very purpose driven. And for the purpose that it does, it's perfect. I mean, it couldn't get more perfect. Birdhouse. It's a notepad for Twitter. If you're not familiar with Birdhouse, you basically can draft tweets in Birdhouse. I use Birdhouse for two purposes. Number one, things that I want to tweet that I want to kind of capture and save myself. And also want to have time to think through exactly how I want to say something. But I guess I also use Birdhouse as a little private journal.
Okay.
Although, increasingly I've been using Path that way, because Path allows you to use it that way. Path has a feature that allows you to do private entries, or to mark an entry as private so that it's only you see it. And so you can basically use it as a little personal journal.
So the good thing is we discussed that we were going to talk about personal journaling and stuff in the future, and it's good that we both actually keep one. So
yes,
or have started to. I've just started to. So
yeah, and it's a good idea, and that's another thing I hope to cover via video soon as well. Twitterific. I've tried a lot of other Twitter apps and even Tweetbot, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Tweetbot is wonderful. And I even have Tweetbot on my phone. I keep it because I keep going back to it. I keep wanting to have the same feelings that Mike has about it. Mm. But Twitterific is just right for me.
We've spoken about Twitterific a couple of times, haven't we? And because I use it on the desktop and on the iPad because of the tweet marker integration, which syncs up with Tweetbot. But it's just, it's the next step from the official iOS application. But for me, it lacks a lot of features.
Hmm.
But it's a great app, but it's just, I can't get out of it what I need to get out of it.
Yeah. And see, for me, it provides exactly what I need. Like, there's some things about Tweetbot that I just can't really grok. Not the least of which is, I don't know, we could probably do a whole show about this, but like, one of the things I like about Twitterific is it's got the little arrow in the right bottom right hand corner of each tweet, so you can click that little arrow and quickly get a reply, direct message, retweet with comment or whatever.
So that drives me crazy.
See for me, when in Tweetbot you tap the tweet to get those options in a bar that just has icons. And that drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, you can set up tap. So you can triple tap to retweet. Triple tap to reply or triple tap to retweet. So that's even faster. So you've got, if you can you can set your triple tap to either reply, retweet, favorite, translate, view in faster.
Okay, gotcha.
So you can set that up in the settings and it will allow you to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Just I'm so used to Twitterific at this point. I don't think I could like anything else. I'm just I'm used to it.
So that's the last one on your
Last one. So if you've got stuff on your fourth road, first of all, you're crazy, but second of all, you get the last laugh. So go right ahead.
Yeah, I am a third road guy, but I have apps on the fourth row at the moment because I'm trying them out to make sure whether they're going to stay.
Mm.
Gotcha. One of those is Path, and I need to And I'm really enjoying Path, but I'm not sure if I'm going to put it onto the second screen because I don't live in it. Mm-hmm. It's an app that I go in when I've got 5 minutes. So it's not one that I need. Whenever I go in Path, it's because I have time to kill. But it's not my first choice of time killer. So, do you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. you know, my first choice would be Tweetbot, then Reader. So, if I'm going into Path, I've got a lot of time to spare.
Gotcha.
All so, right. therefore, it doesn't matter if it's on the next screen.
Okay.
Doing the show with Brett, doing cooking with Brett, obviously we use Evernote to collect links and share things for the show. Obviously.
Gotcha.
So I'm using Evernote again, and I'm trying to get more into Evernote, and I'm thinking about doing a bit of an experiment with it. So that's back on my home screen. And I've put the two new apps on there, Food and Hello, which are two new apps from the Evernote company, in where it looks like... I mean, to me, Evernote are clearly changing their business strategy, and I think it's fantastic, where it would appear that they're kind of using the Evernote service as a back end now, and they're going to be releasing apps that tie into the service. So use Evernote as the storage facility, but there are brand new custom UIs for these new applications. Have you checked out either of these apps? You should. Just download them, Food and Hello. They're called Evernote Food, Evernote Hello. Just download them and take a look at the interfaces. I think you'll quite like them.
All right. I mean, the truth is I do have a, like an Evernote, like a premium level plan with Evernote mm-hmm. right now because I got it as part of
that bundle, the Fusion bundle.
Yeah. Despite my feelings about bundles, hey, it was Fusion. They're friends of mine, and I'm a Fusion member, and so I kind of have I felt obligated to support them with my dollars.
You can be more honest now. It's changed hands. But he doesn't want to comment, so I'll just let him move on.
No comment. So the food and the what's the other one?
Hello.
Okay.
So food is a food tracking application. Mm-hmm. You know, as you'd imagine. So you
take it ties into Evernote somehow.
It's basically everything that you save into it gets stored to Evernote. So with food, you take photos of the food that you're in. It geolocates you, so it will pick up the restaurant that you're in. And you can leave little comments of the food, and you can, little notes mm-hmm. for yourself. Oh, this was a great bottle of wine. So a lot of what people actually use Evernote for is to take photos of food and stuff. So they've actually got a dedicated... Yeah, a lot of people do that. They take photos of food and wine. A lot of people take photos of wine labels so they can remember how great the wine was in such and such place. Yeah. And it, it does everything for you. It geolocates it and you can...
And it OCRs the image.
Yeah.
They've got that feature. So, mm-hmm. like, if you take an image of text, you can actually search the text of that image or search using the text on that image. Yeah. Okay.
And then it saves them as individual notes to your Evernote account, and it uses like a HTML-based image type, like a HTML rich email. It looks like that sort of idea. So it's replicating the UI from the application, but it saves all of it out in a nice format. So everything is saved in there. You can see it all at a glance. It's all searchable. Hello is a contact application, which the UI is quite reminiscent of Metro, Windows Phone Metro UI, where it's like tiles, and it's basically the people that you meet, their faces are like large photos in the application. Okay. And what you do is you set up your own contact information. So you put like a photo of yourself and your contact information you'd like to give to others. And then on the main screen of the application, the top left, there's a big plus button. So what you do is when you meet somebody, you give them Evernote, you open the app, give it to them, they press plus, add in their information, it takes a photo of them, and they can put in whatever contact information they want to give you. And so then they are in the phone, and then they can also see your contact information if they want to add it manually to a different phone, not an iPhone or whatever. So it's they're trying to think of a different way of doing it. So instead of you saying somebody, what's your number, and typing it in, you just give them your phone, and they record it. But it does. My favorite thing is the cool stuff that it does. So it records the date you've met that person on.
Okay.
And my by far favorite feature is it uses again geolocation to say where you've met them. But in the contact data for that person, it uses Google Street View to take an image of the place you met them.
Oh, that's kind of that's really neat.
Yeah. So I mean, because I obviously set up my own contact information, and when I went into my Evernote account, because for your own contact information, it doesn't show it in the app. Because why do you need to know where you met yourself? But in the Evernote part of the app, for your even your own contact, it has the full HTML deal, like how they show the application. And I was looking through it, and there is a photo of my own house. And I was like, wow, that's cool.
Interesting.
So it's doing some really cool stuff with their you know, all the services that they have and the way that they do things. So, you know, I'm just saying, I like the fact that I like the idea of this business model. So using Evernote as a platform and then a bunch of apps tie into it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, in a little way, almost Dropbox-esque.
Yeah, but with the difference that it's Evernote doing it. I mean, because Evernote have an API, and they have a thing called the trunk, which is loads of applications, like an app store, really, of apps that use Evernote. But this is their own take on doing their own things. So I figured, you know, trying to get more into Evernote, I'll give these apps a bit more of it there as well.
All right.
Right, we're running long.
Yeah, this has really run long. And so my apologies to our listeners who normally tune in for the 20 to 25 minutes we normally do. We've kind of gone double that. But I think it was worth it, and there was a reason. There was a reason why. And should also mention, this is going to be actually part of a series. So, like, we're going to do a few episodes from now. We'll talk about what's on the second home screen, and then we'll talk about what's on our third home. You see, so just, I don't know, keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I actually I learned a lot.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one.
And I hope others did too.
Yeah, so. Sorry about the show notes, Pat.
I got my work cut out for me. No question about it. All right. Well, thanks a lot. We'll chat later.
Cheers.
Cheers.